Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Two Geeks and a New Podcast with your host, Super Beard Vince Hoover, and his co-host, Jason Q. Perez and Denise Jackson. A podcast for the indoctrinated nerd, the casual fan, and everyone in between. Now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to A Bearded Perspective, a nerd fest of fun. I am Super Beard Vince Hoover. I am joined by Jason Q. Perez and Denise Nerdmaste Essentials Jackson. We're here to talk about all things nerd. Just have a good time. So one of the key things we're going to be talking about is Loki. Loki has hit Disney Plus. It is already fantastic after just one episode, and it is a lot of fun. Quick background, I have been in comic books, comic book movies, and the like for 30 plus years. Jason Q. Perez has as well. Denise Jackson, on the other hand, is a bit of what some people like to call a noob. I like to call an interested fan. So if you have any questions, it'll probably come from her, and we're going to answer them the best we can. So let's get started. First and foremost, just overall opinions of Loki. Jason, we'll start with you.
I am very intrigued. I actually watched it just last night. I'm excited because it's showing its way into the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, and it's these clues and you know these nods to this future film that we saw also in WandaVision. And what I'm starting to figure out is the possibility of Doctor Strange becoming a leader of a division of the Avengers, much like that of the Justice League Dark, where it's just they are the mystic, wing or cell of the Avengers.
The Sorcerer's Academy.
The Sorcerer's Academy.
Now, Denise, as somebody not as affluent in the comic books, but somebody who is still a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what did you think of Loki?
I thought that they did a really good job of explaining everything that was happening. Even if you don't follow comic books like all your life, which you and Jason did, it wasn't where I was confused. I still was captivated by the episode. I felt like they did a really good job, and I really, really liked the fact that it's leading up to other episodes. I was so sad when the episode ended. I was like, no.
That's when you know you got good writing, when you leave your audience hung and they want more.
Exactly. And I think that at first, when WandaVision first came out, I was a little upset that they weren't doing what Netflix does, where they put the whole episode on there. But then I remember that Disney did this with The Mandalorian, where they put it out one episode at a time, and it creates an even more discussion, more want, more intrigue into the series. Because if you just dumped all six episodes, we'd have them all done and there'd be no questions. We'd have the answers already, and that wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah, it wouldn't. No, I completely agree. You spend a whole week postulating all these theories, and then you finally get to the episode and say, and you're like, man, I was so wrong. I was so off. Or man, that was an excellent surprise. And we never saw that coming. You know, I spent months with my friends in school, you know, trying to decipher how Endgame was going to end. You know, it's just that, that time you've got to be patient in this world that, you know, we have instant gratification. It's things like this that really make it that much more special, at least in my opinion.
Well, and I feel like as a newbie though, like if you don't even know what you're supposed to anticipate, they did a really good job like building up to it to where you can kind of see where it's going, but there's no like background for me to like even sit there and be like, oh, but this could happen and this could happen. It's like now I'm like, okay, what are they gonna say? And then that's where I go to you and Vince, because you guys filled me in on what I missed, and it's really, really cool. So I'm looking forward to doing this podcast and maybe helping people understand things that are they might have questions about.
Excuse my phone, it was very unprofessional of me. That's, I think, the greatest thing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that Marvel has been able to toe that line between diehard fan and brand new casual fan. Absolutely. So well. Yes. So, and that's something that DC definitely lacks. like big
time. Oh, but they're so good too. I still like their films. I still like them. But
they're I'm not saying they're not good.
The same as much as Marvel. Like obviously they really need to pick it up on the writers. I totally see that as a move. Totally see that.
Well, yeah, I could do a whole other podcast on the problems DC versus Marvel.
What I was gonna say.
We won't get into that because that'll end up eating up the entire time.
We'll save that one.
Yeah, we'll save that one for sure, especially having somebody on the outside who doesn't quite understand. But because also Jason and I have film industry background as well.
So
we understand things that a lot of other people don't. So we understand where
it goes wrong. You guys are both writers as well.
We understand where it goes wrong behind the camera, but we won't get that's a very heated discussion to say the least. I'll get fired up on that one. But sticking with Loki.
Yes.
So one of the things that happened during WandaVision, and it didn't happen as much in Falcon and Winter Soldier, because that show was pretty straightforward for the most part. But WandaVision was so out there and so different. And Denise, I know you weren't a huge fan of it, but it created so many theories and so many like possibilities that could have come from it. And a lot of people were disappointed that their theories didn't come out, but they still loved the series. But they were just like, oh man, I was so off base. And Loki, I think, is going to do the same thing, but I don't think they're going to do it in. Wow, turn my phone off.
Wow. Oh,
that's TikTok right there, people. TikTok is blowing up.
Well, tell them to comment in. They can come comment.
All right. Now I got it on silent. That was very rude. I apologize. First podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, Loki, I think you're going to have that trend of people having theories. Trust me, I've seen a bunch. A lot of people, I want to dive into one part in particular, but that's not a theory. It's something, it answers a question from Endgame. But there's been a lot of theories, like Mephisto's name got thrown out again just because of the stained glass window.
Mobius. I heard Mobius.
There's theories that Mobius is actually the true villain of the film, of the show, which I don't believe. There's Kang the Conqueror. Has been thrown out there.
I could see that though, with his character being the actual villain. Like he did give off that impression. Paid attention to like how his personality was, I felt like he could honestly be like a villain in the background.
Well, he did make some comments about wanting to burn down certain parts of the TVA.
But also he was on Loki's side. He was the one that went against what was the name of like the
judge. I forgot.
Like the whole like industry, what was it?
Yeah, the TVA, the Time Variance Authority. Yeah. Well, here's my thing about that. Instead of looking at it as in a black and white sense, I look at Mobius right now, at least the way Owen Wilson's playing it, as like one of those old school 1920s detectives who plays a hunch.
Oh, okay.
And he's playing a hunch that this Loki is the good Loki. It's the Loki that has his redemptive arc. He just hadn't had it yet. Right, so
this is a different path to his.
Yeah. Right. So this Loki will be the one to stop the other Lokis. And you notice I said Lokis with plural. Because even though they mention one Loki, I do believe there's more than one Loki. They mentioned a evil Loki, which is, I think, Lady Loki.
Do you really think that Marvel is going to go that deep into incorporating all these other Lokis, or
absolutely.
Would newbies like be able to keep up if we don't know how the comic books go? Like, I'm really interested to see how Marvel would do that then to keep newbies still interested.
Well, Jason, I want to get your thoughts on this, but I think that they're definitely more than willing to do it, but they're not going to do it the way the comic books did it, because the Council of Lokis was a very long series. They're gonna bring them in the MCU way. So you're bringing in the character, but it's different from it's just like the Captain America Civil War film. Civil War was huge crossover event in Marvel, but it's nothing like the movie. And yet you were able to appease comic fans because you still had the iconic Iron Man versus Captain America.
Yeah.
But fans like you, Denise, who hadn't read that comic book, enjoy that film just for what it was. The MCU characters at war with each other.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's see. As far as, Loki, I was never really aware of the Council of Loki. So now I see where you're going with this. So that opens up a perspective now.
whole different can that. Of worms. And yeah. What are they going to do for noobs that don't know that, you know? I wonder how they're going to make that flow.
Well, I really think that it'll be Mobius who will explain where the variants come from. Like, where did this Loki come from? Where did that Loki come from? Because you're going to see, like, in the trailers, we've seen things of them, like, jumping around. Like, there was the D.B. Cooper scene, which I thought was amazing. Anybody who knows anything about urban legends is the D.B. Cooper story of the guy who hijacked a plane, got the money, and then just disappeared, and nobody's seen him ever since. Yeah. He escaped in a forest right outside Seattle, and nobody's seen him since. And the fact that it was Loki, and it was all because he lost a bet to Thor, I thought that was great. But we're going to see them, and we're going to see him go back to Pompeii in the year 79. And when the huge explosion, a volcano explosion happened and took out the whole city of Pompeii, that's going to go back. You're going to see him through all these different times. There's going to be a ways that Mobius will explain this. I think he'll be the key to exposition throughout the show. He's going to explain things, but he's got a way of doing it that it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm just going to dump information out here so that you know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the important thing. Like, especially as a noob, if they put too much information out there, it makes me like not interested, and I have no idea what's going on. But
it's almost like if they know.
Yeah. Like, and I have no idea, but Loki was like, even though there were concepts that I wasn't familiar with, it kept me interested. They really did a really good job with that episode.
Yeah. I like how they mentioned that Wanda herself is a Nexus being. I think that was also covered in WandaVision.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you know, her character, her being itself is an aversion from the timeline or just, you know, something that's not supposed to exist. And that's probably why you have a generational, Scarlet Witch, somehow in some way that it's always meant to be that she used to return in some other form or fashion. And it's something that has to be dealt with in some fashion.
So I was
feel like her powers are as far as like Doctor Strange, like how
they had mentioned in WandaVision that she is in fact supposed to be stronger than the Sorcerer Supreme.
Even stronger than the Sorcerer Supreme?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. In the final episode, when Agatha is finally confronting Wanda, she's reading from the Darkhold, which is that book of magic. Yeah. And it says she's reading what the Scarlet Witch is. And she said the Scarlet Witch, who holds more power than that of even the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh my
and
God.
You have to remember this. Doctor Strange is not the Sorcerer Supreme yet.
Over there.
Doctor Strange in the MCU is not the Sorcerer Supreme yet. He has not reached that level. So this version of Doctor Strange is definitely not at a power level like Wanda is, which is why Wanda is going to have a big part in Doctor Strange 2. Oh. But well, her
then,
being...
Then I have a question then.
Go for it. Quick. Go for it.
Okay, so... In the Endgame,
yes,
Wanda was just, you know, she had to use her powers to destroy that which she loved. And when Hulk went back and tried to get the stone from the Sorcerer Supreme, why did that even happen if Wanda is more than the Sorcerer Supreme? You know what I mean? Like, why did that, why?
Because
he already know or say anything.
Well, because at the time, for one, Doctor Strange. So let's go back to Loki. Loki actually helps with this question. So what they have established now is that there is a sacred timeline.
Right. Yeah.
So in the sacred timeline, which it is the Doctor Strange's job to protect that timeline. That's why the Sorcerer Supreme carries the Time Stone.
Right.
Yeah.
Or did, because they're not. Yeah. They don't exist anymore.
Right.
He is to protect that assignment. So he can look into the future, but he can't change anything. So in that 14 million futures, he may have seen
he didn't
look past the winning of Endgame. He didn't do that. He only looked like, okay, this is the one where we win. I'm good. I'm going to stop here.
Yeah.
He didn't look ahead to see that Wanda would snap, creating her own, like taking a whole town hostage.
Yeah.
And creating her own reality.
Wow. I guess I don't really understand what her powers are exactly, but that's freaking insane.
Well,
I really wish she would have been in that show.
Let's go into Nexus Beings, Jason, and I'll start. So in Nexus Being, they showed it in Loki that whenever somebody is a variant and breaks off the timeline, they create a Nexus event. So by being a Nexus being, you are outside of time. You stand above time. You're outside of the sacred timeline in the sense that your power is more than even that of the TVA. I have a theory that this show actually makes Wanda even more powerful just with what they're saying.
Right, because Loki cannot use his magic inside the TVA. And if that's the case, then yeah, she would be able to use her chaos magic inside the TVA.
Which is why she wasn't picked up for creating her own. She's one of the few beings that can actually create her own timeline, and they can't do anything about it, is what I believe.
That's nuts.
She is an actual Nexus being, so she's actually outside of time, which is why.
Why is she not like one of the timeline keepers then?
It may be because Nexus beings can't be controlled.
Oh.
It could be that the timekeepers are Nexus beings themselves. And it could also be a selfish thing. Like, they're not as all benevolent as they're made out to be.
No.
The key thing with that animation, with the Miss Minutes thing, where they talked about the multiverse of madness, they literally like name dropped the movie. But at the end of it, it says commissioned by the Time Variance Narrative Commission.
Yeah.
Like it's literally telling you it's propaganda.
Yeah. And it looks like propaganda. Just how they put it together.
By the way, the voice of Miss Minutes is Tara Strong.
With a country accent.
That's the voice of Timmy Turner. That's the voice of the original Harley Quinn. That's the voice of the female Stitch. That's the voice. She is the voice of just about everybody from our childhood and on. And she's amazing.
It's like passive aggressive. Like, hey. I love her.
Yeah. That's like all these different ads. Like you see them as they're walking through the line. Make sure you have your number. She's so like quaint and matter of fact about killing people.
Yeah.
What I feel like that would be like kind of like the Hunger Games. May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah, she's
but you're going to die. So
I have a feeling like she's obviously a big part of the TVA because on the elevator, there's an actual button for her. So I think there's more to the character than just being an animated propaganda tool.
That's neat.
Again, we're only one episode in, so we don't know much. I have spoken to a few people. I know a few people who have seen episode 2, and I've spoken with them.
How did they see episode 2 already? Lucky?
So they work, like one of my friends, he works for MTV UK.
Dang it.
And so he got to see it. He actually got to interview Tom Hiddleston, too.
Oh, my God.
I was very jealous of that.
I am jealous, too.
It's a guy named, by the way, if you're on TikTok, I would highly suggest everybody go follow him. His name is Theories by T, the letter T, Theories by T. He's awesome. What a great dude he is.
By T, is it a capital T?
It doesn't matter. They're all lowercase. Oh, it doesn't matter. And TikTok.
Oh, okay. Yay. So. I'm totally going to.
But by the way, while you're on TikTok.
TikTok. Super weird.
Self-advertisement. Anyways. No, I think that there's a lot of things coming out of this that are going to be quite amazing. One of the key things for me is that ever since the end of Endgame, there has been this vocal minority of toxic fans, mostly toxic. Some of them not toxic, they just don't like it. But a lot of toxic fans have been angry over Captain America's happy ending. And there was also a debate between directors, the Russo brothers, and the writers of the film. The writer said, no, he was always meant to go back. He didn't change time. It wasn't an alternate timeline. He was always Peggy's husband. The Russos said he created an alternate timeline and then came back at the end. This show answered that question. No, it's not an alternate timeline. What the Avengers did, including Steve going back to be with Peggy, was always part of the sacred timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always Peggy's husband. That's why Peggy never mentioned a husband's name in that video of her talking about Steve. And when you see her on her deathbed, there's pictures of her and her kids, but no pictures of the husband.
That's yeah, I remember nuts
that you mentioned that. Oh my gosh.
That's something I noticed back in that film. And I thought, I even had that theory even back then that they might do something. Because I think time travel was always something they were building to. It's kind of like the only way to fix. It's like one of those things, you have this huge decade long story. And how do you fix it with, you have 23 movies. You got to go the time travel route. It's just kind of, I don't want to say it's not lazy writing. I think they wrote it very well.
A lot of people say that's lazy writing, and I really kind of hate that. I mean, sometimes it is, but not always.
Well, especially since they explained it really well, and yet people still don't get it. And that's what this show is doing. It's basically cementing what they did. And some people have said, oh, look at them trying to save face with that line. They're not saving face. They're explaining to you that your theories are wrong and this is how it's always been. They're just showing you, here's a nail in the coffin, that here's how it happened and that's how it's going to be. This is Marvel putting their foot down and saying, this is our story. This is our canon. Your theories don't mean anything if it goes against what we have decided.
Right.
Okay, so then again, as a noob, when they go back and they, when Ant-Man, like they designed the machine to go back in time. Remember, it was like baby Ant-Man and old man Ant-Man. And then he like finally goes back to himself. How is he not a variant at that point? Like, and was that supposed to be what happened and for them to figure it out? And then, so how is that not playing with the timeline? And how is Loki just happening to escape? Not because it seems like everything fell into place for him to be able to escape. Like they even showed that in the beginning of Loki, how everything just fell into place. So how was everything that anybody else did not being a variant?
I can actually explain that very well. And I'm glad you asked. So, because I actually had somebody ask me this earlier today. If everything the Avengers was supposed to do was meant to happen in the sacred timeline, wouldn't that mean Loki escaping was meant to happen as well? Yes and no. But I'll make that make sense. Loki escaping was meant to happen, but it was also meant to happen that he was to be erased immediately after. He was meant to escape so that they were forced to go to 1970. That way, Steve saw Peggy's desk, saw that 30 years after he disappeared in the ice, she still had a picture of him before the serum on her desk, showing that she still loved him deeply. And that shaped the decision for him to go back in time and be with her. Right. So they had to go to 1970. But the whole plan was the sacred timeline is like the second that Loki escapes, because he's removing an Infinity Stone from the timeline. The second he leaves, we're going to catch up with him in Mongolia. We're going to reset the timeline with a reset egg, those little things they put on the ground and it resets the timeline. Right. And then he's going to be erased. The whole plan was he's going to be erased. Mobius has now changed everything by not allowing him to be erased. Uh-huh. Mobius, but again, they're still outside of time. They're still outside of time. So the TVA doesn't exist within the sacred timeline. They're outside of time and space. So Loki staying alive is fine, but either once he captures the evil Loki, he has to be erased, or he has to become a TVA agent and never go back to the timeline. Those are his only two options.
Could he go to another universe, one without him?
No, maybe. He's a variant no matter what. He was always meant to be he was always meant to be a variant, but he was meant to be erased. Mobius is the only one who's changed that now. But the whole plan was, yes, he was meant to escape, but he was also meant to be immediately erased. The Avengers were not.
I think they did a really good job on this episode just describing what the TVA was, is because when they use the Infinity Stones as paperweights, it's like, wow, okay. It doesn't really matter.
No.
Because time... all these little things that you think like will, you know, change your timeline and you can do this and that, like the TVA is above that. So I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with that, because if Infinity Stones can be paperweights, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with that.
Jason, I'll let you touch on that first, but I also have something on that as well, but go ahead.
So, I'm thinking, you know, this is another opportunity for them to, you know, bring up the Celestials and the Eternals, you know, because now that we're dealing with a broader scope of space and other characters in a larger, larger capacity. Let's see, I forgot, what was it that she had asked?
About how the Infinity Stones kind of became just paperweights. You know, they were basically insignificant. So this grand scheme that we had for over a decade suddenly becomes insignificant.
Yes. Yeah. It's been shown before in some crossovers with even DC. Mm-hmm. We've seen some we've seen characters try to use like an Infinity Stone inside the DC universe and it not work. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, that was a good way to illustrate, you know, you're looking at a bunch of Infinity Stones, but they're not really worth anything unless they're in their universe.
And, exactly.
And that, you know, that paints a broader perspective of the reality. You know, it's like, what other kind of versions are we going to see? Are we going to see an Ultimates version of Marvel come through? Well, that'd be kind of neat. You know,
well, I would say that
a fresh perspective and starting over with other older characters.
I would say that MCU is kind of based mostly on the Ultimates as it is. And they just, by the way, in the comic books, I don't know if you guys have seen this. This just came out recently. Kevin Feige himself appeared in the 616 universe in the comic books. So like it was basically Kevin Feige pitching to Cyclops, tell me your story. As if Kevin Feige was meeting with the mutants in real life to then make movies for the MCU. I thought that was really interesting. But here's the thing about the Infinity Stones. Like you said, Darkseid got a hold of the Infinity Stones, but he got a hold of them in the DC universe where they didn't work.
Yeah.
The whole point is that the Infinity Stones are still massively important inside the universe. But once they go outside of time, they're worthless. This doesn't demean the sacrifice of Black Widow. This doesn't demean the sacrifice of Tony Stark or anybody else. It just shows
the Tesseract too. Like the Tesseract was nothing. He was just like, here you go. You can have it.
It just shows how out of time and space the TVA is and how that now that we're stepping into Marvel phase four, the stakes only get higher. Now we're dealing with something that makes the Infinity Stones look smaller. So what does that mean for the big bad coming up in phase 4, 5, and 6?
As a noob, I can tell you that I'm super excited because, what, unlike you guys, I have not followed comics all my life. But I can tell you that doesn't mean that I'm not super excited to see where they're going to go with this. Like, if they can make Infinity Stones insignificant and they're paperweights, like, what? What else do you have in store? That's insane.
Well, also, like, did you watch that Eternals trailer I sent you?
No.
You're a terrible human being.
I know. I will watch it, but tell me about it. Tell me before I watch it. Tell me why you sent it to me.
So the Eternals are coming up in November, that film. It looks, first off, it just looks stunning. It looks like it's going to be like, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets nominated for Academy Award for Best Picture, if at least Best Cinematography. It looks gorgeous. Has a stellar cast. It's Angelina Jolie, Camille Nanjiani, Richard Madden, Kit Harington, Selma Hayek. The Eternals are so. I'm trying to think.
I feel like why you had to say was Selma Hayek and Jason.
Yeah.
He's not listening to you anymore. All he heard was
While he goes and cleans himself off, let me explain the Eternals.
That's all you had to say.
So the Eternals. So you remember Guardians of the Galaxy when they started explaining what the Infinity Stones were?
Yeah.
And they showed that giant being holding the Power Stone. Do you remember that, Denise?
Yes.
Okay. And Ego the Planet is also one of them. The Grandmaster, played by Jeff Goldblum, is one of them.
Right.
These are all.
I love Jeff Goldblum. What? Yeah, awesome.
These are all Celestials.
Yes.
Celestials are the beings that came into existence at the same time that the Infinity Stones did at the Big Bang. What the Celestials did is they created humanity. They also created the Eternals, which are super-powered immortal beings. And they created what was called the Deviants, which are mutated, monstrous versions of the Eternals. Thanos is an Eternal, but he had some Deviant genes in him, which is why he looks the way he looks.
Can I just, like, put out a theory?
Go.
Do you know, like, Valerian and the City of, like, a Thousand?
Yes. What a beautiful film.
Yeah, that was a
cool film. I love that movie.
That was, like, it was, you know, it was out there. It was different. It was a space adventure, kind of like, you know, The Fifth Element. It was.
Well, same director, and it's actually the film he wanted to make, and he couldn't. The technology wasn't there, so he shot Fifth Element instead. Fifth Element takes place 500 years before Valerian.
Oh, this is they're both
in the same universe. Yep, it's all part of the same. It's all based on an old French comic book.
I think that would be really cool if they could, like, incorporate that. And can I just give a shout out to Rihanna? Like, oh my god, her as Bubble and that whole like scene was so freaking awesome.
Yeah, she did a pretty good job. I thought it was a shame that her next movie was Battleship. We'll talk about that.
Let's focus on the positive and not the negative.
She did great in Ocean's 8 too. Like, I actually like Ocean's 8. I think it's an underrated film, and she did good in that. But so the Eternals,
that whole thing would be really cool if they could incorporate that into a movie. That's really neat.
Like, well, that's kind of what the Eternals are.
Okay, cool.
So you're going to kind of get that same. You're going to get that same feel, yeah. And what the Eternals are, so again, they're super powered beings, and the movie is going to span at least 10,000 years, if not more, because they've been kind of from the background, kind of helping humanity here and there. And they've like tried not to interfere, but they have helped, which is interfering. But, you know, they've tried not to interfere, but they have helped by helping advance technology and advance crops and advance agriculture, stuff like that. But now it's like we've stood aside, even through all the events of Endgame. We've got to take a stand. We've got to step up and actually help humanity. There's even a joke at the end of the trailer, which I won't spoil it for you. I want you to see it. But the movie just looks like Q, I don't know if you noticed this, and Denise, keep an eye out for it. There are tons of Captain America Easter eggs throughout history that they show in the trailer.
I have not seen that trailer. So
I would actually recommend Q, you to do this. Go to New Rock Stars YouTube channel and check out their breakdown of it, because he points each one of them out,
he'll put in our video.
I'll put a link on the YouTube that I do for this. I'll put a link to that video and the trailer for Eternals.
That would be great. Well, I think that people would appreciate it.
Yeah, because it really helps break down like these little Captain America Easter eggs, and it shows that at least from the first trailer, like these people have been more involved than we think.
That's so and cool.
They're going to have a big part, but the Time Variance Authority are basically a form of celestial as well, like the timekeepers.
Right.
They're a being of celestial level, at least. So we've got Black Widow coming up, which is a prequel that comes out in July, right, which tickets just went on sale today. Today being June 11th. So pre-sale tickets already went out. But that one's going to...
Did you guys see 11/11 on June 11th? I did.
What?
Did you see 11/11 on June 11th?
No, I was... What was I doing? I don't even know what I was doing. I think that might have been the 1 hour of sleep I got.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah. You've got that coming up, which is a prequel, but Kevin Feige has been very adamant that there are huge ramifications for the future of the MCU in Black Widow. Also, we've got the Eternals in November, just before Spider-Man No Way Home, and Spider-Man No Way Home leads directly into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is the next film after that. Oh, and we also got, in the middle of that, we've got Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings, which... Mm-hmm. is an important film, but doesn't tie into the overall narrative just yet. Like, remember how the first Ant-Man was a good film, but didn't really tie into the narrative? It kind of stood on its own until the second film. It's kind of that same thing. Like, Shang-Chi is going to be important, but it's going to stand on its own for the first film. But as far as like major overarching story plot lines, Black Widow has some, Eternals has some major ones, and then Spider-Man, and then Doctor Strange. And I think that Doctor Strange is going to be the catalyst for whatever the big bad's going to be. It's going to be the kicking off point. Like, everything's going to build to Doctor Strange 2. And then, boom, we start to see the overall plan of this next big phase.
Right.
The first three phases were the Infinity Saga. We dealt with all the Infinity Stones and Thanos. It doesn't. In the universe, it didn't mean shit. If you took those Infinity Stones out of that drawer and took them back to whatever timeline they came from, just as powerful as they were before they left.
I think that's why, like, they had that whole thing with Hulk trying to take the Infinity Stone from the Sorcerer Supreme, and then she showed him the timeline, mm-hmm. and then he, like, did his, you know,
exactly.
him, Hulk, brain. Exactly. That's cool. I love how they just tie it into that. It just is so amazing as like a noob and not knowing, and everything like pulling in together from all these different movies. They really do a really good job.
Yeah, they do. They do amazing work. Marvel, Kevin Feige, and the thing is, and this is where I know I said we wouldn't go back to this, but I'm going to bring it up just for a second. This is where Marvel and DC differ, is that Marvel Studios doesn't have, they don't have one writer. They don't have one director. They have multiple writers and multiple directors, and each writer is gifted in a certain type of storytelling. Like a lot of the, like I was telling you earlier, a lot of the writers on these Marvel Disney Plus series are writers from Rick and Morty. So yeah, they understand series writing. They understand multiverse, they understand time travel, and they understand how to do it in a funny yet intelligent way. But the overarching thing is you have all these writers and directors underneath Kevin Feige. So you have one person that's overseeing everything, right. But he hires the right people who can be creative without him having to micromanage.
Yes.
Whereas with DC, they first try to put everything on Zack Snyder's shoulders, one director, one writer, Zack Snyder, but then they also micromanage the crap out of it.
Yes, they did.
And then they fire him right around the time his daughter kills himself or herself. He has to deal with that. They then decide that all they're worried about is making money. So they bring in Josh Whedon, who did the Avengers films.
Right.
But they're different stories. So it doesn't work. So it doesn't translate, which is why we got the first Justice League, which is terrible.
Yeah, it was.
And then it led to what is now, the Snyder Cut, the 4-hour movie we get on HBO Max, which is good.
Yes,
I think it's a much better story, but it's also, you can tell that instead of cutting it down to an actual story, it's like, let's put every single scene we shot in it just to shut everybody up. So Marvel doesn't do that. Marvel is like, we're going to tell a story. And if you don't enjoy it, we're sorry, but it's part of a larger narrative. Like with you and WandaVision, Denise, you weren't a huge fan of it. But
I think it's because it's like I loved Lucy, and like they did do like an I Love Lucy kind of feel
for the first episode.
And then that was as far as I went with it. It's because it just wasn't like what I expected from Marvel movies, and so I couldn't like get on board with it. I don't know, like I saw it and it was cute, but it wasn't like, I don't want to waste it's my confusing. Life watching that.
It really is confusing because you're starting to think, when you start watching it, as I did, at least in my experience, I was thinking, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Is it going to like cut away to, real life again? And, I'm like, all right, no, I just need to be patient. And I'm like, something's amiss, and I need to just pay attention and look for clues. And also be patient, keep watching. So when you keep watching, you see how everything progresses through the decades in styling, how it's shot, the decorations, the hairstyles, the costumes. Mm-hmm. You begin to realize it's really not about that. It's about her and what she's starting to deal with. And then they reveal, hey, these are the shows that she grew up with as a kid, and now this is a psychological trip between for her to reconcile with losing so much, for losing her brother and Vision, and then wanting to have children, and as she did,
and children with an android, with a guy she, even if he lived, she couldn't technically have kids with, so there was that trauma too. I would think now that the series is out and you can actually binge it, and they're not long episodes,
no,
like they're only 30 minute episodes, and I think the longest episode's 40 minutes or something like that. You'll see that it's not about just being a joke, and like, you'll see like, oh wait, this is her having a mental breakdown.
Yeah. And it's pretty dark.
It's actually darker than people think at first.
Yeah.
Cause it's meant to be like this homie and thing. You realize that, wait a minute, she's altering reality and all this stuff. So I would give it another chance. If you have the time to just sit down and watch it, go past a couple episodes. Like, it's 9 episodes, but it's well worth it once you get through it. Cause you'll start to see like, oh, wait a minute. I think by episode 3, you really start to see the breakdown, and you really like, oh, okay.
All right. Once again, I guarantee you're going to be left wanting.
And Jimmy Woo, just one of the best characters. It also introduced, you remember in Captain Marvel, Lieutenant Trouble, the 11-year-old, her best friend's daughter, Denise?
Yes. I do.
No, but I feel like I need to give that, like, I need to give that whole thing another try, especially if she's more powerful than the Cersei Supreme.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that character. Like, for real, as a newbie,
you
I
will after
understand
this.
Understand that character. The only time I've ever been introduced to that character was from the Endgame. Like,
yeah, Age of Ultron and Endgame. Yeah.
That's it. So I want to give it another try. Does it explain her character more in that series?
Absolutely.
It does, especially with her powers.
Especially when it gets to episode eight, which is like the flashback episode where it kind of goes through her life. And they do that. It's so emotional. It's done so well.
Maybe they didn't like really put her out there as much as they should have, because
I'm serious.
Like, as a newbie, you're like, why? And I had no idea. And
that was the point of the series.
Well,
was to show you her importance.
I mean, they did a really good job on Doctor Strange. Like, really, they showed his powers like right away. They didn't really show her that much.
I will admit that WandaVision may have worked better as like a movie for a lot of people. I enjoy it as a series. But I can see how, especially somebody slightly newer to it, because obviously you're not going to leave after one episode. You're going to sit through the whole movie. You pay for a movie, you're going to sit through the whole movie.
Right.
So you'll get to the part where you're like, oh, okay. Whereas a series, especially one that's only debuts weekly, you can turn it off. You can be like, I'm not going to go back. But if you go back, the reason I mentioned it, so I know you're a fan of Captain Marvel. I am too. The little girl who was her best friend's daughter. Her best friend's daughter, the little girl, she called her Lieutenant Trouble. She picked out her costume colors.
Yes.
She's grown now, and she's actually there as part of, SWORD. She's part of the new thing.
Right, yeah.
And without giving anything away, she becomes exponentially important as well to the MCU. Yeah.
Okay, so now I have a problem with that, because that's her mom. And why wouldn't her mom protect her? Because you and I talked earlier when we were talking about...
Okay. Do you want me to ruin the series for you? You want me to spoil it?
You have to watch it.
But we were talking about Hawkeye. And I was like, Hawkeye's daughter. Like, I felt like they were leading it up where Hawkeye's daughter was going to be important. And you're like, no, because... Yes.
Okay. I can spoil this part because it's not going to ruin the moment when you see it. Her mom... Maria Rambeau, after Captain Marvel left, went on to form S.W.O.R.D., which is the space division of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Cool.
So she's the president of that. Cool. Now, Monica joins up as an agent, and then her mother dies of cancer.
Right. Mm. That's why she's
why she couldn't protect her, is because she's gone. But when she dies is really important, and you need to watch it, and I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Because, oh my God, I think that's episode 3 or maybe episode 4. But wow, it also explains more about what happened at Endgame that we didn't see too.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
I'm sure there's plenty more things that happened during Endgame we have yet to see.
Yeah, we're still going to see ramifications of that moving forward, probably for the next 2 or 3 years. You remember in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we had the Flag Smashers who wanted it to go back to the way it was, but before people came back?
Yeah. Right.
That kind of stuff happens too. Like, you're going to see why they felt that way. You're going to get a moment where you're like, oh, I can kind of understand why they felt that way. Spider-Man Far From Home, they kind of play with that. Like, they mention it, but I don't think they do a good job about it. They make a joke where, like, Marissa Tomei's Aunt May goes, it was such a scare for the people living in my house when I just blipped back. Ha, 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 ha. But the reality of that moment is shown in WandaVision, and it's heavy. It's heavy. It is a heavy, heavy moment when everybody comes back. They're not just they don't blip the band back in the middle of a basketball game and people run into each other. Like, it's a legit moment. So if you can, go back and watch WandaVision, get past the first episode. I would say watch first episode again, because there are things in the first episode that come back into play. But
yeah, I will. I'm going to have to.
I think it's one of the things
I love Doctor Strange so
you're gonna go
much.
Back. You're going to go back and you're going to be like, oh, I actually love this series.
And I'm not like Cumberbatch ho, or what is the term for
Cumberbitch?
Like,
I think.
Yeah, I'm not that.
Cumberbitch.
I don't find him attractive at all. I just love Doctor Strange.
I don't like not that. I think he is one of the best actors out there.
He is so good.
But I don't understand the love for that dude because he has got like when you see him as Khan in Star Trek.
Yeah, I hate Darkness.
He starts yelling. He's legit got like a Willem Dafoe goblin face. Like it's legit.
Yeah. I mean, but he's an incredible actor.
Yeah, he's great. You
couldn't take anybody else to do that role.
Except for he can't say the word penguin, which I think is funny.
Really?
He did a narration for a nature documentary about penguins. And he says penguins.
Penguins? Yeah. That's cute.
Which I find hilarious.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so WandaVision will actually answer a couple questions for you that are going to come up during Loki. But the thing we have to remember too, we're still very early on in Phase 4. Mm-hmm. And Phase 4, we've started over.
Phase 4, and I have no idea.
Let me explain it to you real quick. So when Iron Man first came out in 2008, that started Phase 1 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Why is it Phase 1? Like, what is that?
So the plan was, and because yeah, they didn't
plans.
They didn't know how successful these movies were going to be. So the first phase was up to Avengers 1. The first Avengers movie. Had the first Avengers movie bombed, Phase 1 would have been it, and they'd have been done.
Yeah.
It ends up being one of the most successful films.
Kind of like so, Fantastic Four, how they stressed and not redo it so many
times. On that.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah. Okay. Next,
okay.
Phase 2.
So then... Phase 2 starts directly after Avengers and leads up to Avengers Age of Ultron. And then Phase 3 was just after Age of Ultron all the way through to Endgame. So those are the first three phases.
The
box set is called the Infinity Saga because it's all about the Infinity Stones. So you have 23 films and an overarching story about the Infinity Stones. Now that's done. We start Phase 4. It'll be Phase 4, 5, and 6, maybe possibly Phase 7, depending on how they want to do it. But that'll be the next big bad. The next overarching story is all going to be evolving around the upcoming films. So as they begin Phase 4, WandaVision kicked it off. Then you had Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now you have Loki. It was supposed to kick off with Black Widow, which is why the big cameo that happened in Falcon and the Winter Soldier didn't make a lot of sense to some people, with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, she was awesome in that.
She was amazing in it. And the character she's playing is incredible. It's Madame Hydra.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Contessa, but she's actually going to be she was supposed to be introduced in Black Widow. So she'll be in Black Widow with her character explained further.
Oh, okay.
So that cameo will make more sense. But because of the pandemic and everything that happened,
things got screwed up. Knocked it off the schedule.
But let me talk about that for a second. How amazing has Marvel been that even with this global pandemic that put a year wait on everything, ruined their schedule, they're still coming out with things like, okay, Wanda wasn't meant to kick it off. Wanda was actually supposed to come after Falcon, but they made it work. They reshot a little bit of it. They reshot Falcon and a Winter Soldier because they were going to, so Wanda Falcon and a Winter Soldier was originally going to have the Flag Smashers releasing a pandemic level virus.
Yeah.
And obviously they took that out.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't do that now. That's in bad taste. That's too
bad taste. Bad taste. Bad taste.
That's like them coming out with that Flight 93 movie, like 2 months after 9/11 happened. Like, ugh, what's wrong with you? So it's bad taste. But so that's what, and that's again, Marvel is able to adapt. And what Marvel does is they don't try to bring the page of the comic book to life. They just take what's great about it and interpret it to a cinematic form. That's why people like Denise, who have not read the comics, can still follow along and enjoy these movies. You've not read Doctor Strange, yet he's one of your favorite characters because that movie's amazing.
No, that's not I loved him when I was little too. Like I read a little bit of the
comics. Well, just ruin my point then.
Well, I'm sorry, but I was told about him when I was little, and I loved him just like Spider-Man. Like I'm sure every teenage girl loves Spider-Man.
Well, think about this. Like, a lot of people that grew up that love Spider-Man, like, I've loved Spider-Man since I was a kid. They loved it from the animated series. They never picked up a comic book.
Right.
And they Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
Batman's amazing.
Batman 89 comes out, then the animated series comes out, and everybody loves Batman, and yet they've never read one page of the comic. And that's the thing, you don't have to.
The original Batman movie, you cannot beat the original Batman movie.
I will actually say that Batman Returns is better.
What?
Yeah.
I think the one with Catwoman and Penguin is better.
Oh, yeah, but I also like the one with, it's not Keanu Reeves, who is it?
Val Kilmer
and George Clooney.
No.
And then Christian Bale.
Yes, Christian Bale.
The Dark Knight ones. Yeah. So here's the thing about the Batman. Let's talk about that for a second, because I actually heard something today that actually it blew my mind. As great as the Dark Knight trilogy is, it kind of ruined Batman.
Yeah, I didn't like the way it is.
Because what it did is it not only makes the character dark and gritty. Just to be dark and gritty, not for a proper reason, but what it also did is that all future movies, especially in DC, it's like, oh, look how successful this was, we have to make all our heroes dark and gritty. That's why Man of Steel is a little bit darker than most Superman movies. Now granted, Man of Steel, great film, I love Man of Steel, but Batman v Superman is a fun film but not a good film.
What do you think, Jason?
Well, I mean, I liked it.
Which one was your favorite?
Well, I'm liking the Zack Snyder's Justice League right now. It's just that's my absolute favorite right now. I've seen it, you know, probably about 7 times. And you know, I watched the Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition and then watched the Justice League. And to me, it's a great trip. I don't care if it's 4 hours long. I'm good with that. It's the best I'm gonna get, and I'm more of a DC fan than anything else.
Yeah, so it does flow pretty well.
Yeah.
Although if you took out most of the slow mo, it'd be like 3 hours instead of 4. Mm-hmm. But no, it's
but you have to have that. It makes it.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, I didn't like the 4:3 aspect ratio and the black and white, and I did not care for the way he scored the movie. I like classic orchestra music, but that's something that Marvel does. And I get that, you know, he didn't want to do that, you know, just he didn't want to be like Marvel in that aspect as well.
Yeah. I like the score a lot in that. More so than the original Justice League that came out in theaters. Because I felt
Danny Elfman?
Yeah, I felt Danny Elfman. They were like forcing
They forced
nostalgia on you by trying to blend the original Batman theme and then
the original Superman.
You know, John Williams didn't approve that.
So many things, though. Like, how does he differentiate himself?
He doesn't. He doesn't. That's Danny Elfman's problem. He's great, but every song sounds the same. If you listen to the Beetlejuice soundtrack and then the Men in Black soundtrack and then the Batman soundtrack, they're almost identical. There's a rock, the Men in Black ride, if you go on at Universal, you think you're on Beetlejuice for a minute because it sounds exactly the same.
And I can still tell when Danny Elfman did something.
Yeah, you know what to do.
Yes.
Whereas the difference is you know a John Williams score, but they don't sound the same. You just know because he's very, like, the way he's done. And by the way, John Williams was pissed. He did not give approval for them to add his Superman theme into the score for Justice League. Mm-hmm. He didn't give them approval. And he said he wasn't going to sue or anything. He just was going to voice his opinion on it because he didn't feel like fighting it. But he was pissed and he'll never work with Warner Brothers again, he said.
But still, Jason was like talking about something about Batman. But what were you saying?
Not really sure, but okay. So you were going to pick up something on the new Batman movie and how, okay. So the Dark Knight, the way it felt, I just didn't like the way it ended in, you know, he had to fake his death and it just felt like to me, he just limped away from his responsibility as Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bane was a complete disaster as a character. Was not comic accurate, but I mean, I get where they were trying to do, you know, a more realistic version of that character. Mm-hmm. Still could have done better. You know, what's his name? He's a great actor.
Tom Hardy.
You know what? You know, and you know, Tom Hardy read a lot of those reviews about how what people said about his character. I didn't care for his the way he played the character, but a lot of people were really mean. And you know, he mentioned that really hurt. You know, yeah, the way people were just saying how horrible he did with the character. You know, and that hurts for a professional like that. You can't really do that. You know?
Well, unfortunately, there are toxic fans in every fandom, and unfortunately, the DC toxic fans are probably the worst.
Yeah.
Like this Snyder Cut, like released Snyder Cut fans, they're ridiculous. And they're now out there, like they're trying, it's sad. It's just sad.
I feel like it's like NFL too. It's like,
oh yeah,
shut the fuck up. Like you're yelling at this team. Oh, you should have done this play. You should have done this play. Well, bitch, are you out there doing it? Then shut the hell up.
Exactly.
Like if you're not out there doing it, then you have no say so. Just sit there. Because you didn't have the balls to make it happen. You are a troll and sit there in your mommy's basement.
It is impossible to make a film for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. That being said, most filmmakers either make the movie for themselves, like Christopher Nolan, or they make the movie for the fan base that isn't toxic, which is why toxic fans get out there and voice their
opinions. That's playing it too safe.
No, it's not playing it safe. They're just like, okay, I can make this film for the fans, but I can't make it for every fan. So you're why? It's either do I?
Everybody.
It's like exactly. So do I placate the toxic minority, even right. though they're vocal? Do I please them, and push aside everybody else, or do I please the main fan base, the pleasant people, the people who aren't out there being trolls? And let the trolls have more fire. And filmmakers have decided recently, especially when it comes to Marvel, fuck the trolls. We're going to make it for the real fans and they can have more fuel for their fire and we don't care.
I think that it's really cool that you said that they're pulling material from like back in the day, like our conversations in the past.
Yeah.
When I questioned you about this and I ask you questions about like, you know, Loki and all this other stuff. And you say like, they're pulling information from like comic books from like back in the day. And that is so cool. I love that because I didn't read those. So it makes it really, really interesting to me to get an opportunity to get that information. That's awesome.
They're doing the don't reinvent the wheel. And because they've got plenty of material to work with, excellent material to work with. Why change it? You know?
Right.
Well, the greatest thing that Marvel does is they, like I said, they don't try to copy the source material. They interpret it. So they take what they have and they take the best elements of it and they interpret it. Now, like I said, a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is based on the Ultimate Universe, where in the Ultimate comic book, Nick Fury was actually drawn after Samuel L. Jackson. Like that was the plan from day one. Like we want to make Nick Fury look like Samuel L. Jackson. So they took pictures of Samuel L. Jackson and drew him into the comic book.
And why would you not?
Yeah. Oh my God. That's why Samuel L. Jackson got the job as Nick Fury.
Yes.
So a lot of it has been based around the Ultimate, but they go back and they tie in things from the past. Sometimes like just from 10 or 15 years ago, sometimes from 50, 60 years ago. And Marvel has done such an amazing job of just taking just the best elements of something. And then also realizing we're not making the Marvel 616 comic book universe onto the screen. This is Marvel 199999.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 199999. Yes.
Right.
This is that universe. So it's going to be different. And that would be something I think that Marvel Comics has over DC Comics is they have a better grasp of the multiverse. They're also setting up a lot of things. We know we have Secret Invasion coming up. It's another series on Disney Plus coming up in a few years. We know we have Armor Wars. So there's a lot of things being set up, and I think that there's a possibility that the Multiverse of Madness leads to a Secret Wars event. And when I say Secret Wars, I'm not talking the original 1980s, 70s and 80s Secret Wars. I'm talking the one that came out just about 10 years ago where the multiverse collapsed on itself because the time, was it the Time Variance Authority or was it the Celestials? Somebody decided they didn't like the multiverse and decided to collapse it all down. And you had Doctor Strange, and was it Black Panther? It was one other person. They stood up.
Where does him. Dormammu go in with all of that? Like, that would be my question then. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he.
Okay. All right. That's actually a really good question.
Yeah. So where? Dormammu, why is he not a variant?
Well, Dormammu exists outside of time.
Right.
Remember, the reason that he gave up, he never dealt with time before. So when he got put in a time loop, this was a new experience for him. And Doctor Strange had to die probably 1,000 times to finally annoy him to the point, like, fine, I'll go away. Just stop this. This is stupid. Yeah. Yes. I don't like time. I don't like repeating things. This is dumb. Get out of here. I hate you. Go away. Like, he was such, like, I'm taking my ball and going home. But that's the thing. So the dark dimension exists outside of time. This is why the ancient one was able to be so ancient, because she was using dark dimension magic. And that
went Scarlet Witch is even above and that.
If you remember, Mordo said that goes against the natural law of time.
And then, so that's another thing, is because he becomes like a enemy. And I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with him now that he has all that information.
I'm excited because he's going to be a part of Doctor Strange 2. Going back to Loki.
Yes.
When Loki talked about burning the whole place down, and Mobius is like, yeah, I'll help you. He's like, well, this place is a nightmare. He goes, no, that's a whole other division, but I'll help you burn that one down.
Did you not like totally go back to like Office Space and like Milton? I can burn the place.
But comic book nerds had an even bigger moment.
Yeah.
Because Nightmare is the rumored villain of Doctor Strange 2.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Yeah, Tell me more about that.
He is the head of the Nightmare Dimension.
Where does he come from?
The Nightmare Dimension. Like he is the reason we have nightmares. He is the he is a demon-like character that is a powerful magical being that creates nightmares and can create nightmare come to life. And he's supposed to be the villain of Doctor Strange 2. So when they name dropped him, as in he has his own section in the TVA outside of time. That was
why
huge.
Is he not a variant?
Because he's outside of time and he's always existed outside of time. You can't be a variant if you don't exist in time.
How does Loki exist in time?
Because he was born in the timeline. He's not an extra dimensional being.
This is all making my head hurt, but I'm really looking forward to it all like making sense. But like, it's so really cool.
Think about yourself. Let's say that you're born, and let's say you were born with magical powers, just like Wanda was. Now, Wanda, okay, that was a bad example.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you were born like Loki was. So Loki becomes a sorcerer. He's on Asgard. He was brought
over. That was also a spoiler that you just gave too.
Don't spoil
what
anything.
What spoiler did I give?
That Wanda was born with powers.
Well, they kind of tease that, but they kind of don't. And it's
don't you already feel that? Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm a noob, but I kind of feel like she was already born with that.
She'll forget that anyways. Kind of she'll go to watch it and forget I said that.
You can play it. You can put it on me. That's fine.
But so if you're born on Jotunheim, picked up by Odin, you're all within the timeline. You're all within that dimension. You're all within the normal life. Just because like right now we're on Earth and we think Earth is the only planet with life. Let's not get into an aliens discussion because we all believe in aliens.
Right.
But it turns out there are 9 realms. There's Asgard, Midgard, which is Earth, Jotunheim, and all the others that I can't pronounce. They still exist.
Go back and watch Thor.
They all exist in the sacred timeline. But the dark dimension, the mirror dimension, the nightmare dimension, those don't exist in a timeline. They're outside that dimension. They're outside time and space.
They haven't brought those up into movies, though.
Yes, they have. They're brought up in
what movie? What movie brought up Nightmare Dimension?
Doctor Strange.
That was the mirror dimension. I don't remember Nightmare Dimension.
She doesn't say nightmare, but she does say that there is a vast multiverse of dimensions.
Yeah.
Well,
and laid that little bit of groundwork. Now, Loki just poured a little bit of water on that seed with Nightmare. Just poured a little bit of water on that seed with Nightmare.
Cool.
And obviously, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which, by the way, for those unaware, that is a play on the Into the Mouth of Madness horror movie with Sam Neill.
Oh my God, that movie is insane. Is
amazing. And Sam Neill is in the next Thor movie.
Shut up.
He is playing Odin again in a play. If you remember in Thor Ragnarok, he was playing Odin. Yeah. Sam Neill played Odin in Loki's little play about his death. That they had Matt Damon was Loki, Luke Hemsworth was Thor, Chris's little brother, and then Sam Neill was Odin. Well, now they're doing another play in Thor: Love and Thunder with Sam Neill as Odin, Luke Hemsworth, Matt Damon, and Melissa McCarthy as Hela.
Oh my God,
which I cannot wait for.
Yeah.
That's gonna be amazing. By the way, Chris Hemsworth.
But she can be like for real.
Yeah, she's an amazing actress. But can we talk about the fact that Chris Hemsworth's arms are now the size of redwood trees?
Oh my God!
The latest picture
as big as Rob,
he didn't skip leg day, did he?
He's in the Hulk Hogan movie now.
He's gonna be playing Hulk Hogan in a biopic. He got jacked up. Like his arms are insane. Like
I know
Hogan had 24-inch pythons at his biggest day. I think Hemsworth has him makes him look small. Like he looks insanely big. I saw that picture
and
I
was like, in the day he looked like that.
I looked at that picture and I'm like, my God, I didn't know human arms could get that big. Like it's insane. He's wearing that tank top like a sports bra. My God, the thing is tight.
I know.
Jason, but apparently,
did you know that he was playing Hulk Hogan?
I did hear about that, and I was pretty pumped because he's a local.
Yeah, I've known Hogan for years, and I also know what kind of person he really is, and I'm really hoping the movie dives into the real Hulk Hogan and not a.
Does he still have version, his bar and restaurant here?
As a matter of fact, I met when I went to WrestleMania this year, which was a bucket list for me. I went to WrestleMania, and one of my seatmates that sat near me actually works there.
Aww.
And
is he still doing good and stuff?
Yeah, he's there a lot. Like he goes in a lot. He's there That's a lot. Cool. He also picks on her because she looks a lot like Brooke Hogan. So he claims her.
His daughter's a wrestler.
No, she was in TNA for a while, but she never actually wrestled.
I thought she did.
No, she didn't wrestle, and it's probably a good thing.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't about that life. And I don't blame her. It's a hard life.
Well, she did really good when she was in it. I saw a couple of her matches. She did a really good job.
I don't even know what she's doing now. She was doing music for a bit, and I think she's gone on to do something else.
Oh, well, you know what? Blessings to their family. And you could not have picked a better Hulk Hogan than Chris Hell.
I just hope he can get the American accent down, because his American accent isn't great in some other films. But,
I'm sure he'll have lessons. And
the reason I say that they really do need to make sure they don't sugarcoat this biopic, though, Hogan was one of the hosts of WrestleMania. we were only 20,000 deep. There wasn't a full stadium. Yet the boos when that man came out were insane.
Why?
He made a bunch of racist remarks and had a sex tape with somebody else's wife.
See, I thought that's why the restaurant was closed when we're on. So it's still open?
He closed one, I think, and he opened up another one.
Okay.
He made a bunch of racist remarks. He was using the N-word a lot with his son.
Yes.
And that got leaked.
Yes.
But then they put him next to Titus O'Neil as co-host. That was awkward. I know we're going off on a weird tangent here, but screw it, it's fun.
That's what friends do.
So something else about me, because I've done everything other than sun, I was a pro wrestler for 4 years.
Yes.
And I learned a lot about Hogan that I didn't even know, and I've known him since I was a kid.
The Big Show slaps. Let's talk about the Big Show.
Okay. All right, let's go there.
Yeah.
So the Big Show, and if you see him now, he's in great shape. The man is in great shape. For a guy who's over 7 foot tall, like he's in great shape. Like he has abs now. It's weird. However, when he got injured and when I was wrestling him, he was nearing the 500 pound mark, and he put me in the corner and he put my arms over the ropes.
No.
Did the whole shush thing and then just chopped my chest with his giant, massive hand, which took up my whole chest. That hurt a lot.
Did it make you a man?
I enjoyed it. I mean, honestly, it hurt in the moment, but it's one of those things that the adrenaline rush from it.
nobody else gets slapped by Big Show.
Well, between that and getting old schooled by Undertaker, I mean, those are highlights. Those are highlights in life.
If you please, even as a chick, I would love to whatever with Big Show, with Undertaker. Oh my God.
So the old school is where he takes your hand and he walks down the ropes and then jumps off and hits you with a club hand, which that doesn't hurt at all, but it was just cool to experience.
Anyway, going back to Loki.
Yes, going back to Loki as we've gone on a tangent.
Well, the thing that I talked to you about earlier is we were talking about how like Gamora died, and you were telling me that she like there was that whole different timeline there.
Mm-hmm.
Where she could still be alive. And that is really interesting to me as a noob. Like, I want to know more about that.
So there's a deleted scene from Endgame. And in the deleted scene, after all of Thanos' army is snapped away, we see that Gamora didn't get snapped and she runs away. Like, she's hiding behind a rock while they're all mourning Tony Stark. And she runs away. That makes her a variant. Unless she was meant to leave that 2014 alternate time and come to the sacred timeline. Now, the reason I say alternate time, the second Nebula's cranial device messed up and they showed the screen.
Yeah.
That created an alternate timeline. Wow. Because they were supposed to walk off that bridge of that ship, get on another ship and go to Ronan.
Right.
But because she collapsed and had that moment and they're like, wait a minute, go through her whole memory, that created an alternate timeline.
Yeah, immediately.
So that
not a variant at that point.
All those variants got wiped out.
Wow.
Except for Gamora. Gamora is the only one out of that variant that didn't get wiped out. So either A, she's a variant on the run, or she was the only part of that was meant to survive.
So why didn't they pick her up like they did Loki then? Because
we don't know yet.
Wow.
There might be an episode later where she gets picked up, or there might be an episode later that explains that she's not a variant. She was the only one meant to survive that change.
Wow. That's really interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. Like the first episode was amazing. Even as a noob, I really, really liked it. It didn't make me wanting for anything.
So something I wanted to do on this channel was rate things based on a spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, we have Goosebumps. So this was a goosebump inducing. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end of the spectrum is Loose Dumps. It's so bad, you're going to compare it to diarrhea.
Oh, God.
No, there on that spectrum.
That on that episode.
So on that spectrum, what do you put Loki episode one?
Oh my God, I literally cried, and I know you did too, because we talked about that, when he saw his mom die, which he knew that wasn't his mom, and then his whole, like, relationship with Thor, his brother, just that was just so beautiful. They did a really good job, like, just touching your heart and making you be like,
it just condensed a lot of years of his growth into one moment, and it's like, you know,
it made sense
and he grew the thing immediately. Like, right there,
can we talk about how deep that moment is about his mother's death? Because Mobius flat out tells him, it's your fault. You told him to go left. You led him to your mother. She died because of you. And like, and that realization, that's something that the other Loki never knew.
I have a question about that then.
Yes.
So in that episode, it seemed like that happened in the future. Like, that didn't happen yet.
Well, it happened in the future to that Loki, because that Loki is from 2012.
Okay, that doesn't make sense for the movies then.
Yes, it does.
To us and our perception, because you have to assume that we're, you know, we are ahead of everybody else. We're not, you know, we're not stuck in 2012 as, or was it 2014 is the year he's from?
No, it's 2012.
Okay, so, you know, from his perception, movie,
Dark,
you know,
Dark War, the Dark World happened in 2014 when his mother died. It happened 2 years after the events of the Battle of New York.
Right.
So he had to watch.
That was really confusing to me, because it felt like they were showing it to him like it didn't happen yet, but
it didn't happen to him yet. It happened in the sacred timeline. It just didn't happen to him yet because he got pulled out of the sacred timeline in 2012.
But I thought that that happened. Like I thought, like the Loki, like this whole like series was happening after the snap.
So okay, the thing about the TVA is they exist outside of time.
Okay, but that's what they said was that this all happened outside of the snap. So why would he feel like if it happened after the snap, why would he be looking at his mom dying and he caused it?
No, like his mom died before the snap.
Right. Yeah.
Right, but that's what I'm. But that's what I'm saying. They were saying that this was supposed to be after the snap.
No. So the Loki series, the Loki series, doesn't happen before or after the snap.
That's not what it says in the trail in the comments or whatever. Before you watch the thing, it says it's after the snap.
Okay, kind of ignore that because you got to remember the TVA exists outside of time.
Yeah, it's not really an idea of, you know, the reason this happened.
The reason I think that comment says after the snap is because it was after the snap that in Endgame they had to do the time heist. And during the time heist, they went back to 2012. And in 2012, the Tesseract fell free. He escaped with the Tesseract in 2012.
And time travel out right then that he figured out right then and there after seeing Ant-Man that the Avengers did a time heist.
Yeah, that's, he was figuring out their time travel.
He took that information with him, even though he's not supposed to know that.
Yeah, but, like he put it, you can smell two Tony Stark's colognes.
Yes.
You know, there's two Tony Starks with the amount of cologne you can smell. So he knew that. Okay, he knew that they were time traveling. He was like, okay, this is a Tony Stark from the future. This is, I don't know who this little person is, but they're doing something. Oh, look, the Tesseract, let me escape. It was 2012 Loki who had never, he didn't know that he was going to end up in that prison. The Dark Elves were going to show up, and then he was going to end up leading them to his mother who would get killed. He also didn't know that Odin would die. He didn't know that he would eventually help save Asgard by destroying Asgard, as weird as that is. Yeah. And then that him and Thor would actually mend their relationship.
I really liked that when his father passed away, like that.
The Odin's son part, which they were very, did you notice they were very keen to call him Laufey son?
Yeah, they did.
Loki Laufey son. They did not call him Odin's son because his birth name is Loki Laufey son.
Yeah,
because he was the son of Laufey, the king of the ice giants, frost giants.
Did they talk about him, and will they talk about his actual father in the future?
It's no longer important. That's now been taken care of. It's no longer important. No need to cover that because Odin accepted him as his son, and he felt that.
Well, I mean, just playback. Like in the future, like going more into that.
It could come up, but because there is going to be a season two of Loki. They've already got that on the production sheets. So there is going to be a season two. But here's a key thing that I don't think anybody realized. Loki's tape doesn't end right as his neck is snapped. It ends with his brother hugging him, which means his neck was snapped, but he wasn't completely dead, and he felt his brother hug him before he died.
Are you talking about when Thanos?
Yeah, when Thanos snapped his neck.
Yeah.
That's like, so the tape stops after Thor is crying and hugging him.
Yeah.
And then it winds out. So
that's the Loki
that died in Infinity War, he wasn't completely dead until after Thor hugged him. So he died a slow death, but he did get some closure of his brother hugging him.
Yeah. Oh my God. But he saw that. Jason and I were talking to like, There's like a reality about all of that too, and it's really, really cool. But what?
I guess it's in a way really we it's like an easier way to get our character Loki caught up to what he did up until the present.
Well, I look at it like this. If you'd have grabbed Loki right before his neck got snapped by Thanos, if they just grabbed him like, hey, we need your help to catch this variant Loki, if they'd have grabbed that one, he'd have been a hero and redeemed, but not 100%. He still would have been mischievous. By showing him all of that at once and him having that a huge emotional dump on him, you see him sit down and go, It's all an illusion. I don't like killing people. I do it because it's an illusion and I'm weak. So now you have finally we have the true heroic redeemed Loki in this series. And it all came from an emotional dump like that. And he'll still be mischievous and he'll still try to escape. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
But he's right now, after just watching that happen and seeing he caused his mother's death, who he did love. He did love his father and his father actually loved him back. He did love his brother and they reconciled and he died to save his brother. That emotional impact, it's like an instant therapy session. And he's like, okay, so this is I would say that this Loki, who went from being an evil Loki from 2012 to in less than an hour of TV time, became a far more redeemed and heroic Loki than the one that died at the in Infinity War.
Yeah. I think that's also reinforces the theory that, you know, he's not going to come back to the MCU because he has he no longer has any more issues to resolve with Thor or anybody else in the family. So there's, you know, it's there's nothing left to flesh out. So he really has no purpose in coming back.
I think he'll become an agent of the TVA. I think that he's just going to become part of the TVA, but I think he's also going to possibly either take it over or at least be somebody like in charge. Like he may trick the timekeepers out of their job, or he might at least just be like, hey, I'm the person to go to. I'm the new like I'm not saying take his place, but like, I'm the guy, I'm up here now. Like you guys answer to me kind of thing. I think that I think he's going to be very important. I don't think he'll just get like a baton and be an agent. Like, I think he's going to be like really important in the TVA. Go ahead, Denise.
No, that was it. I just felt like he was so angry to find out like where he came from. And then now, like, that was really, really important for me, like as a newbie, watching his reaction to what actually happens to his adoptive parents, I guess, if you want to call them that. But then also, there was a really good point that was brought up when, if you watch like the original Thor, like he got really upset with saying, I'm going to pass down my throne to my firstborn, which we know wasn't Thor.
No, it's Hela.
Yeah, so that was really important too, the fact that they realized that together. And yeah, so that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. So something I'm hoping they kind of address. Do you remember in Thor Ragnarok when the Grandmaster said that time works differently here on Sakaar?
It could be for, you know, it's simple reasons of physics.
Because it could be the physics purpose, but could it also be that because he's a celestial that he's affecting it? Like, was he like, is Sakaar like an issue? Because so this just came out today. We have a She-Hulk Disney Plus series coming out.
Yes.
And it was just announced today, and this hasn't been confirmed by Marvel, but it's been supposedly confirmed by a reliable source, that Scar, Hulk's son from Sakaar, will be in the series. So, like, with this sacred timeline, now She-Hulk will come out after Doctor Strange. So the multiverse is going to explode by this point.
Yeah.
So it could be, what I'm thinking of could be all for naught. But, like, Thor was, you know, 2.5 years gone, but it seemed like he was on Sakaar longer. But then again, like, because like Loki, he disappeared literally 30 seconds before Thor did, but he was on Sakaar for 3 weeks before Thor showed up. But he fell out of the Bifrost just 30 seconds before Thor did. So like, time is screwed up on Sakaar. And I don't think it's just physics. I think there's like a dimensional issue. So like, because it looks like it's the end all be all dump for wormholes. It's basically like the trash area. So does the TVA get involved in that? Like, what does that mean? Like, to the sacred timeline when things get screwed up like that? Because like with Thor, like
that I have with everything else, it's just, I don't know. Like they're going to figure it out, and we have
it seems like we have really good writers and they'll explain it.
Yeah,
they'll figure out a way to explain it, and it's really, really cool. It's something for us to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's also think Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. You know, that also has the undertones of Multiverse of Madness. You know, this is probably going to be the scientific and physics approach to the multiverse that'll, you know, that'll accompany, you know, the, you know, the witchcraft or the just the magic end of it. The magic end of it all. And, you know, God, there's so much potential, you know, with the multiverse now.
The biggest thing coming out of Quantumania is we're getting Kang the Conqueror. Kang the Conqueror is a villain who basically all he does is meddle with time. He tries to be immortal by playing with time.
Kang, I believe Kang has been hired by the Timekeepers to fight the Avengers. Yeah.
He's been enemy number one to the Time Variance Authority. He's also been hired by the Time Variance Authority, and his wife is the judge that tried to execute Loki. That's his wife. In the comics, that judge is his wife. So, like, I don't see Kang the Conqueror coming up in the series. He may get name dropped, though. And I do think that eventually he's going to end up being the big bad, because once the multiverse breaks apart, he's the one who wants to control that, and he wants to control multiverses and use it to become immortal. Kang started out as Iron Lad, who was a young kid in an Iron Man suit as part of the Young Avengers. Like, there's so much to Kang the Conqueror coming up. And Denise, I know you don't know who that is, but, like, at most, I say he'll get name dropped. I don't think he'll be a part of this series, because that's one, they had now already announced that they're going to premiere him in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So to then just drop Jonathan Majors out of nowhere in the series feels weird.
I'm sorry. So, you know, I'm looking at Kang the Conqueror right now, just some pictures of him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm noticing, you know, his outfit is mostly purple. And I'm thinking about those time bombs that the Variance Authority uses to reset. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, also, Chaos Magic is that shade. It's purple. It's that shade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, is there a connection?
That's more of WandaVision, Denise. You'll learn more about that in the series.
Well, purple is the color of royalty. So what does that mean for, like, movies or, you know, like, that really does mean something. What is the purpose of purple then?
Well, I know that a lot of things do tie in together based on color. I'm wondering if
the Chaos Magic is that color.
Yeah, because, like, in WandaVision, a lot of people thought Mephisto was controlling Agatha. That didn't happen. And then we thought that the Power Broker was this bigger villain than what it turned out to be, which I don't want to get into that. Sharon Carter being the Power Broker is stupid, and I don't want to go any further into that. That's a whole other podcast,
really,
too.
Really, really wondering why
they just
that.
Ruined Whatever. That character. Yeah, anyways, hey, even Marvel makes mistakes, but regardless. Yeah.
Even as a newbie, I hated that. Next.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't get a pardon. Suddenly she's a bad guy. Shut up.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
they didn't look for me because you hid too well, because you're a secret spy. Shut up. Anyway.
You're still on it. Next.
So could Kang the Conqueror be behind the variant Lokis? Maybe. They may be collecting those reset eggs for him. If you notice in the trailers, there's a lot of purple, like in the end of time scenes where we see what looks like an apocalyptic world.
That's interesting.
So that's interesting. Again, I don't think he'll show up. I think he'll just be name dropped at best, or just a tease of there's somebody bigger involved and they don't name him. But yeah, I just, like I said, there's so Sophia DiMartina is playing an unnamed character. But we've seen from behind the scenes footage that her costume looks almost identical to Loki's. And of course, Lady Loki was in the comics. We also know that Richard E. Grant is in it. Oh, I wanted to look up so that Denise, because I know Denise isn't great with celebrity names. I'm trying to think of a movie you would know Richard E. Grant from, so you know what I'm talking about.
It's okay.
Well, it's also helpful for other people.
Well, yes, I know. And let's we can here. Put that up on the next episode.
Well, I'm pulling it up right now. I'm pulling it up right now. I have computers. I have computers.
Yeah, I'm trying to look too. Honestly.
I don't care about an ad. Go away. Okay, here we go. Let's look at his movies.
What has he?
Oh, he was in Hudson Hawk, which I know you haven't seen that, but what a great film that is. Let's see. Oh, guess what? He's going to be in The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, that should be a fun one.
Denise, I think you're going to like that movie too, because you like the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in The Hitman's Bodyguard. He's in the first one. He is? I don't remember that. Did you ever see Logan, the final Wolverine movie?
Yes.
The doctor, the bad guy doctor, the old guy?
Yeah, I can't picture his face.
Yeah, but that's him. So cool. I'm trying to think of something else you would know him in.
Also, like, how do I take acting lessons to get into Marvel? These people are making freaking bank.
Did you know? Here's a nice little interesting piece of trivia. Chris Hemsworth was actually the highest paid actor on Endgame. Not Robert Downey Jr. He made more money.
Wow.
But Robert Downey Jr. beats him in the long run because he gets a percentage of the box office. And it's the highest grossing film of all time until they decided to re-release Avatar again.
Can we like look up next time how these people are using their money for charity? I would like to talk
Robert Downey Jr. I know has a huge charity with his wife. They do a lot of good work. And I know that Hemsworth does a lot of good work too. He also opened up a fitness app, but I know he does charity work. And of course, Chris Evans does tons of the Marvel heroes are legit heroes. These people are good people.
Good. I think we should talk about that at least for like 30 minutes the next time and just talk about what they're actually
doing. We absolutely can. Oh, he was in Spice World. What a terrible, awful, great movie that was.
I'm looking forward to the next episode and us talking about it next time.
Well, absolutely. We got Loki episode 2 coming up on Wednesday.
Yes.
And then there's a bunch of other stuff coming out too. You have to watch that Eternals trailer so we can actually talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Because you have homework.
When are we going to do the next podcast? When are you guys free? When are we going to do this?
Well, I'm actually okay with doing it like Wednesday night if you want, after everybody's been able to watch Loki.
Oh, okay. How does that work for you?
That's fine for me. Yeah, Wednesday night.
That would be cool.
We can do it just like we did tonight, but we can do it on Wednesday nights instead of Friday nights. And that way it's a little bit more fresh in our minds. I mean, I watch it at 3 a.m. when it comes out. Let me plug my friend real quick, The Keek Show on Twitch TV. We do an after show after every episode and we talk about the episode.
Wait, what? Keek or geek? Like, what
is it? It's the word geek backwards. Okay. K-E-E-G. The Keek Show, twitch.tv/thekeekshow or volume.com/thekeekshow. Nice. We do an after show. We talk episode right after.
And so, thank you to our sponsor.
Yes. And obviously thank you to our sponsor, The Coldest Water.
We appreciate it. Much love.
So before we let everybody go, Denise, do you have anything you would like to plug? Anything you have going on that you want people to check out?
No, just God bless everybody and, you know, keep being you and don't let the world defeat you. Conquer the demons and rise above it. Amen.
Amen. And Q, do you have anything you'd like to plug or anything you'd like to say before we go?
No, just always, you know, always dream, always fantasize and, you know, love what you do. And, you know, if you like the comics and, you know, don't be afraid, you know, and don't be afraid to, you know, be new at it either. Just don't be afraid for anything. Just
absolutely. If you are new at this and you're getting into these movies and you're getting into comics, you can always reach out to me on TikTok or any place else. And I also have a large group of like-minded creators that will do nothing but treat you with the utmost respect and help you out. So hit me up on TikTok. You'll have us here. We're always around to help you. If you're getting into this and you want to learn more, just stick with us. We're going to do this each week. We're going to talk about what's going on. We've got a lot of big things coming up. Like we said, we got Loki for 5 more episodes. We got Black Widow. We got Eternals. We got Shang-Chi. We've got Aquaman 2 just released a new look at the logo. There's all kinds of stuff coming up. So stick around. We're going to be here each week, and we would love to see you come back. Thanks for being here.
God bless.
Peace.